Kane's Fishing and Hunting Show on the all-new Kane 107.5. Hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Good morning and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. Morning, Rick.
Good morning, Tony.
For our weekly fishing and hunting show, and welcome to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana, and stories around the USA and the world. And Ricky, each Friday, these are the people responsible for us being here.
You're right, Tony. We've got to thank Alamo Hydraulics, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Home Run Pizza, and Raging Cajun Seasonings and Foods.
And if you'd like to give us a call, of course, the area code 337. The number is 367-1240. You can listen to us online at www.kane1240.com, anywhere in the world. And if you have an Alexa, just say, "Alexa, play Kane 1240. You can pick up the show on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios of Kane Radio at 107 West Main Street, next to Victor's Cafeteria in downtown New Iberia, which is closed this morning.
Today. I noticed that, Tony.
Yeah, for Good Friday. So with that, anyway, in the meantime, with that, freshwater and saltwater fishing, what you hearing, Rick?
Tony, I was out of pocket last week. I was up in Caney Lake up in Jonesboro, and I was telling you, you go to Alexandria, and you get on 165 north, and you go straight up to Caney Lake, and that's probably Mike.
All right.
See what we've got to call her.
All righty. You're on the air with the Fishing and Hunting Show.
Yeah, Mike Senatare.
Hello there, Mike Senatare. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Kind of chilly.
Yeah, it's a little nippy, but that's all right. I'd rather that than this air, than the 100 degree and the 32 degree. Anyway, what you got for us, Mike?
This past Wednesday, we fished out of Marshfield.
All right.
26 boats.
All right.
Good turnout.
Yes, it was.
The result. Third place was Brad Romero and Raven Owens, three fish for 7.25. Second was Don and Jacob Shootman, three fish for 7.32. And first place was Cody Fatilla and Brock Daigle. They had 7.58 and big bass of 3.65, and they took home $715. So a pretty good payday.
Boy, you're not kidding, Mike, for that. And how was everything? I'm trying to recall Wednesday's weather was pretty nice, too, huh?
Oh, it's very nice. Yes, very nice. Towards the end, it got kind of windy. It was kind of nippy.
All right.
A little drizzle, but it was very comfortable.
All right. And with that, of course, the water pretty nice for y'all that particular day?
Yeah. Water was a little high.
Okay.
A couple of days before, but a couple of things was draining. The north wind was blowing, so it was really nice.
Okay, and with that, I know y'all get together after figuring out who won, and where are we going in a week, 10 days, I guess?
April 10th, we're going to go to Lake Martin.
Oh, okay, so good.
A little something different, thrown in the hat.
Yeah, so you said you had 26 boats?
26 boats.
That's a good turnout from a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure.
Yeah, we had 16, and then they showed out this time.
So. Yeah, so good. Good to hear that. So Lake Martin will be on the agenda, I guess, 10 days from now, and we'll hear back from you in 2 weeks. All right?
All right. Y'all have a good Easter.
You too, Mike. Thanks for calling in, as always. You know, Rick, he always does that every 2 weeks during the Wednesday night hog fights.
Right.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah, this
too.
Tournament, they switched it up because he had some guys, I guess, to get back in line, like you said, with offshore. So, but anyway, Tony, getting back on schedule, we went up to Caney Lake. Like I said, you go up to Alexandria, get on 165 North, and you go straight up, you know. Caney Lake is not near as big as Toledo Bend. Toledo Bend, I think, is 176,000, 178,000 acres.
Yeah.
Caney Lake is a fraction of that. I talked to a couple of the locals, and they couldn't really give me, you know, an acreage, so I don't want to say something and be out of line. But it is a nice little lake, and it's, I tell you what, it has a lot of pressure on it, Tony. And we
and pressure due to the fact that a lot of large bass coming out of that lake over the
years. Well, yeah. If you hit it right, Tony, we caught the biggest three that we caught two sevens and an eight, and we was catching them on flukes, June bug flukes. But the weather, like I tell you, we got up there Wednesday morning, and it was 27 degrees.
Wow.
I mean, it was cold. And we stayed till Sunday morning. We checked out. But we had a good time, and Caney's a good little lake. And the Sockale is running up there right now, which they call them crappie, white perch up there, Tony. But it's a real nice little lake. And, you know, getting back to local, the basin's going to drop. We'll talk about that after a while. It should turn on. And then, you know, like Mike was saying, they're starting to catch a few fish in the lake. So there you go.
Yeah, with that, too, with the saltwater fishing, too, things are starting to open up a little bit. Of course, the redfish tournament was a couple weeks ago, or I should say a week or so ago.
Yeah, I think two weeks ago.
And they had a pretty good turnout and all and, with that. So, of course, you got to get up off early to fly with the birds in the morning. So with that, but they look forward to their next competition next month with that. And of course, as always, the Wednesday night hog fights, Mike always does a good job turning in each Friday after the hog fight every other Wednesday.
Yep, it's fishing season, brother.
And that's what I was getting ready to ask you, Rick. This is the time all those guns are put away. And with that, it's the fishing poles and all. Get those babies out.
Yeah, hold them up, put them in the cabinet, and get out the rod and reels.
Yeah, and you mentioned, too, about the river stage at Butte La Rose. As of this morning, it's a little under 11 feet, 10.9. And it's due to drop about 2 feet within the next 7 to 9 days.
Yeah, next weekend should be real good.
Yeah, so we're talking about at 8 foot, Butte La Rose will be, I want to say, the morning of the 6th. With that, so anyway, things are looking up too for fishing too, Rick. And you know how long it was down, really a little bit too much. You know, 4 and 5 feet, or even 3 feet for that matter.
I was talking about the basin the other day with a couple of my friends, Tony, and we was talking about how much has changed. You know, that man, water can move mountains, like the old saying is. And well, we used to have 20 foot of water, now they got 30 foot trees. It's unbelievable. And I'm talking about in just the last 4 or 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Anyway, don't know if you saw this little article before we get into some other things with the fishing and hunting show, but the grass carp, they caught weighing 92 pounds.
I've seen that, Rick. Yep.
I know Jeff had saw that article, too, and he asked me about it. I said, yeah, I caught it. And this particular up in Lake Concordia, March 11th, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries biologists were shocked, to find a particular fish in their samples, a 49.5-inch grass carp weighing in at 92 pounds.
Yeah.
Just think of the fish that animal was eating, too.
Tony, there's a pond back off of, I can't think of, they used to ski in it years ago. You remember that pond? It's back off behind Freeview Road across?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, out there where Cam Marine used
That's
to be.
It. Right. Well, area. It's a little before Cam. But anyway, it's a private pond. They have a lot of, you know, private-owned houses around it.
I want to see
lots,
they
I should
even
say.
Had a deck in it where you could ski
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's right. And anyway, years ago, they drained it. Not so years ago, probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I guarantee you, I was over there as they were draining it. They had a carp in there. He was at least 70 pounds.
Really?
I mean, oh, yeah, that thing was... It wasn't 4 foot, but he was close to 4 foot. But anyway, when I read that article, I thought about that.
Yeah, anyway, just, you know, that fish is native to Asia. And, boy, they eat a lot of game fish, too, Rick.
Yeah. Oh,
one that size to fill him up, boy, just not good.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that in your pond because come spawning time, you wipe out some eggs.
Oh, yeah, and 92 pounds. Oh, wow, just unbelievable in that
regard. That's a big one,
Oh, you're right about that. And, you know, Rick, with the springtime being here and fishing just great in that regard, and I saw an article that, you know, Louisiana, I always think, you know, we call ourselves a sportsman's paradise. And
pretty close.
You know, fishing and hunting here, maybe we might not have the abundance of a certain type of game, but that maybe some of the larger states are more Midwest and far west states.
Well, maybe hunting, Tony, but not fishing.
Yeah.
I've been all over this. I've been all over, not say the world, but the United States fishing. By far, we're way out past everybody else. Oh, yeah.
And not only that, I mean, you're talking about from freshwater to saltwater, it's just half hour away.
Well, that's right, Tony. You know, we always say that 20 minutes you can be saltwater, 20 minutes you can be freshwater, or you can do brackish and saltwater, which you catch, you know, bass, redfish, flounder, all not far from the same landing, you know.
That's right. Yep. And, you know, I mean, with the different basins at Chaffalaya, the Verrett Basin, I mean, just on and on and on and on with that. And then saltwater, boom. Right there.
Right there at the point, you know.
And anyway, they say Louisiana in the 2023, those fishing bookers, the study showed Louisiana makes the top 10 among 50 states, seventh up from ninth. And but fishing booker in a platform is booking fishing trips and just different things here. But our state totaled 101 of 200 max, 210 max, I should say. But when I look back on it, I mean, you can't go anywhere and grab the fishing you have right here in Louisiana.
No.
With that, other states leading the way, I can understand Alaska, Florida, Delaware, Michigan, South Carolina, Maine, Louisiana comes in there right after, then Hawaii, Georgia, and North Carolina. And with that, wildlife fisheries, inland fisheries completed that poll. And when I look about, Rick, you can't go anywhere and find the fishing like you do here.
Well, Tony, my family up north fishes a lot, North Georgia.
Uh-huh.
They have to drive over an hour and a half just to get to the lake. I mean, I would have done caught five fish by that. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I love it. Then when I go up there, it's like, man, I just can't believe this, you know. But it is what it is.
Oh, you're right.
That's why I love it down here. I call it the swamp. And we, you can be fishing, be in the boat fishing in 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah. With that too, Rick, I noticed I'm trying to find some of our local people fishing. And too, they had the Louisiana fishing tournament. A lot of juniors out of, they call it the North Division. I don't know how kids, we call it North Division. But of the top 10, a couple kids from Catholic High, Roman Segura and Walker Hidalgo of Catholic High finished fifth in this tournament with the high school fishing, mind you. And I don't know particularly these young people. Don't know if you do also. They caught four fish at 8.74 pounds, and I think they were fishing up in North Louisiana somewhere.
It might have been in Caney, Tony. I'm not sure. That might have been that tournament I told you about.
I think
where they had
right,
200 boats. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? They have 185 high school fishing teams here in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are probably surprised at that. And right now it's not a – it's not a, a certified sport, but the way it's moving right now, I think it will be in the next few years.
Tony, we got up there on Wednesday, and just to, right quick, and Thursday was okay at the motel. Bro, come Friday morning, we had trouble getting out of the parking lot. They had so many boats and trucks. But anyway, just to say, which is good, that's good for their local economy, you know.
Also, finishing another Catholic High team, finishing seventh in that tournament, Cannon Leger and Grayson Young. Also of Catholic High, they had five bass at 7.44 pounds. So I want to give those guys a shout-out in that regard. So
good.
Some of our local fishing teams, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Jacob Shoopman is still the coach, I think, there at Catholic High.
I don't know if Shoop's still over there. I'm going to have to find out.
And he and
maybe he is, yeah.
He and his dad.
Yeah, Don.
You know, they finished second in the hog fights last Wednesday.
That's right.
This past Wednesday, I should say. In that regard.
I've been knowing them, too, a long time. Tony.
Oh, me too. Shoop. Yeah.
Good people.
I can remember when Shoop came to town.
Years ago.
He was riding for the Iberian. This is 1976 when
I first met
him. That's right.
Yeah.
With that, as he was a young rider with the Iberian back in the day.
That's
when I first met him.
And he always did a good job.
Yep. Anyway, with that. Also, just quickly, they had that big bass tournament that over in New Orleans, one of the oldest fishing tournaments in Louisiana, and I was trying to see how many. It was the 75th year with that. Kevin Schilling was the big winner. He caught a 6.9 pound bass out of one of those ponds.
Okay.
Rick in New Orleans that. Anyway, just a big tournament with that. Brother Morton High School was the high school that beat 29 other high school teams, winning two fish combined for 6.8 pounds, and boats on the bayou. They also have kayakers on Bayou St. John fishing and all. And with that, and I mean, they're fishing all over in the city for that big tournament, and it's really interesting too.
One of these days, Tony, I'm gonna ride over there just to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And you're saying it's a park?
It's in the park, city park and all, and it's unbelievable.
Okay.
With that, so. Anyway, I found this, and with Good Friday, a lot of businesses being closed today. Of course, Victor's right next door. If you didn't hear me earlier, it's closed for the day. I've seen a lot of people walk up not realizing they were Victor and his staff had closed down for the day. But I saw this, and I thought about it, and I thought about you and a couple things. That anyway, Is a fishing license required for senior citizens in Louisiana? And it is. It is. Go ahead, Rick.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's $5.
It's $5. That's right. And if you can even buy it online through your phone if you can.
That's right. And I was shocked, Tony, because I just recently acquired one, and I was eligible. Yeah, just to say, yeah, $5. That's
anyway,
how I know that.
That's right. And it's really inexpensive. So for you seniors, want to do a little fishing. Of course, if you're under 16, you don't need a license. But over 16, up to all the way, you need to find your fishing license. Don't let the good game
that.
Wardens.
Don't leave home without it.
That's right. That's right. Carl Malden, that's right, with the old American Express commercial.
Yep.
Anyway, also, I saw this too, Rick, and I know you have access to a pond the family owns. And can you fish on your pond without a fishing license?
Well, one day that's probably coming, Tony. We discussed that over the phone one day last week, you and I. I hope not, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's illegal to fish without a license. In most states, it's illegal to fish without a license under most circumstances. Of course, the regulations vary from state to state, but generally, people between the ages 16 and 65 are required to have a valid fishing license before heading out. And youth under 16 can fish without a license in all states, but the age requirement as youth varies between states. And seniors over 64, people with permanent disabilities, actively deployed military personnel, and veterans may also be exempted from needing a fishing license in some states. Here in Louisiana, you need a license. And at $5, it's not going to kill you.
Well, see, I disagree with that too, Tony. To me, all vets shouldn't pay nothing for hunting or fishing. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I hear you. I understand it with that. But most states allow you to fish without a license. But my question to you, with you and the family owning a pond, have you ever had an agent approach you up there or with your pond in all the years y'all have owned that pond?
No. But, Tony, you know, when you dig a pond, used to, but things have changed. They used to stock it for you, but wildlife and fishery would not stock no private ponds any longer. You have to call Books Fish Hatchery, you know, and make your order, and usually you got to wait in line. Now, with that being said, every now and then, because our pond is close to Avery Island, we do get a gator in there every now and then, so we call Wildlife and Fishery, you know. And unless things change, well, what they do, they used to, Tony, they give you a nuisance number now, and you got to wait and get in line, you know. And we have another neighbor that has a pond behind us, so what the gator does, and they'll climb a fence. Now,
our hurricane pond fence.
Oh, yeah, our pond is fenced in. I've not seen this, Tony. A 4 to 6 foot gator will climb a hurricane fence, and our fence is 5 foot tall. And that's amazing
to
see that. But anyway, so the gator, after a week or two, they'll start traveling between ponds. So then you got to watch because the neighbors got ducks, and then you got, you know, small animals. But usually about another month is when we start getting rains, and the water, they'll travel upstream, the canals and the ditches from Avery Island, and they'll end up in the pond. So anyway, but they'll give you a nuisance number, and usually you got to wait like a week or two, and then they'll come help you out with the gator.
Yeah, with that, too. And I know the golfers tell me at Cane Row that they see gators, a lot of 3 to 4 foot ones, with that sun in themselves.
And they're nothing to play with, Tony.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because a small, hungry gator will – I've had them almost jump in the boat. Oh, yeah.
All right. It's anyway, but they tell me the golfers out there at Cane Row see them a lot, sunning themselves on a
especially
nice day like today.
That is warming up.
That's
right.
So with that. So anyway, just be alerted. Yeah. Quickly, before we take our first break, the Louisiana 2024 turkey season opens today for the youth and the physically challenged and April 6th for all others. So with that. And with that, I kind of showed you a map there too, Rick, where the areas you can hunt in and on. There are three distinct areas. With that, of course, I have a state Louisiana map here, and they show Area B being on the northwest side of the state, comprising basically Caddo, DeSoto, and Red River parishes. Most of the state, I'd say about a good third of it, is covered by Area A, and that's all the way up from the state line with Arkansas all the way down to Calcasieu Parish, and then at Vernon's again over in the Florida parishes.
So with the white area, Tony, that's closed? Or?
Yeah, I don't think – and I kind of surprised, too, because I always thought they had turkey, a lot of turkey in the St. Martin area and also in St. Landry.
Oh, no, but in the basin they do,
Not a lot,
but they have some.
I had a friend who passed away a little over a year ago, and he was big into turkey hunting, and that, you know, it happened mostly through April and that. And turkey hunters are required to have a basic hunting license and a wild turkey license or equivalent combination. A youth hunting license and turkey tags are required for those 17 or younger hunting turkey. And you can go online to find that and maybe purchase. And prior to hunting turkey, all turkey hunters, regardless of age or license status, must obtain those turkey tags. So,
Tony, I wonder if, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, do you have to have a big game also?
I'm looking at that right now.
Or is
with
it just
that,
a turkey license and a stamp maybe?
Yeah, I'd advise you to basically to go online
check it out.
And look it up and make sure it's done with that. So last year, in fact, the second best season since 2009, turkey hunters took down 2,833 birds in 2023, only down 13 from 2022 when they took down 2,846 based on tag. Validation data. So with that, so folks, turkey season right around the corner, and I don't know how toughest bird you can hunt.
That's a smart bird.
Right. And, you know, Benjamin Franklin wanted that to be the national bird, and he lost out, of course, to the bald eagle over the period of time.
Thank God.
Yeah. Anyway, time to take our first break here on Bayou Sports. We got a little bit more to talk about. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
Discover Ragin' Cajun, the original Cajun seasoning, and Ragin' Cajun Foods' delicious lines of seasoned red beans, white beans, black-eyed peas, sweet jalapeno relish, Ragin' Cajun roux, rice dressing, gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee, shrimp and grits, seafood bisque, and the new Ragin' Cajun stovetop shrimp boil, gator rub, and sizzling steak seasoning. Ragin' Cajun, the original recipes have been handcrafted here in Acadiana since 1985. Folks, ask them for that Ragin' Cajun. Save bomb.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
Everyone loves pizza, and everyone loves a home run. Put them together, and you have Home Run Pizza. And yes, right here in New Iberia, located at 3816 East Old Spanish Trail, it's New Iberia's newest takeout pizza, and delivery is available. Dough is made fresh each day, and you get an assortment of toppings. Try the Grand Slam, the Double Play, or Mr. Meaty. They're all home runs at Home Run Pizza. 256-5783. That's 256-5783.
Hi, this is Boxcar Bajlo inviting you to join me and PGA golf professional Teddy Sliman for Chip Shots. Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll take an in-depth look at the local, state, and national golf scenes. And we invite you to chip in with your calls at 367-1240.
Chip Shots is sponsored by GolfBalls.com and our local golf clubs, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, and Sugar Oak.
So let's make a tee time for 5 p.m. on Mondays for Chip Shots on Cane. Stream us live on Cane1240.com and catch the podcast the next day.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. Tony Lander and Ricky Watkins. You know, Rick, hunters now can comment on the host of proposed season amendments. And if you're a big hunter, you need to go to the Louisiana Wildlife Fisheries website. And you have till April 30th to make final public comment on a handful of amendments proposed for the 24-25 hunting season. And anyway, the amendments include a change in the West Zone duck season with that. Also, changing in the state area, too, for deer hunting dates to modify the language for legal firearms. Elsewhere, a change of the intent of use of dogs to track mortally wounded deer on private land statewide, prohibiting the take of juvenile turkeys with turkey season opening up next week.
Yeah.
Also, and using a high water mark on the Mississippi River, prompting a closed deer stake in a couple parishes up in North Louisiana, East Carroll and Madison. And a full notice of intent, these seasons can be found on the agency's website. So, you hunters, you need to get in there, man. They want to hear your voice, too. And what's either good or bad or opinion, it's just something they want to hear from you with that. And I'd advise all you.
And, Tony, when you get into that that deal, they send Bo like a survey sheet every year. He's a big duck hunter.
Uh-huh.
So that's how they do, you know, a lot of their surveys and their studies. So it is a good program.
Anyway, Rick, I've held this out a week because I wanted you to be here, and we can talk about this. Should Louisiana wildlife agents be able to search rural land without a warrant? And I'm talking about an East Feliciana landowner is challenging Louisiana's game warden's ability to enter onto private land without a warrant, a case that could change how the state enforces hunting and fishing regulations. And I kind of hinted to you about that. Had you ever seen a game warden maybe come on by the pond while you might have been out there or whatever, or heard of game wardens doing anything like that? Anyway, this gentleman out of East Feliciana Parish by the name of Thomas Manuel and his wife own a 240-acre commercial tree farm. They have had dubbed the end of the road tree farm, where they grow and harvest timber and hunts with friends and family. In a lawsuit filed recently in Baton Rouge, he claims that the agents of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries have twice barged into his land without a warrant. And with that, back in 1924, the Supreme Court ruled that the Fourth Amendment doesn't extend beyond a property owner's curtilage. The immediate land surrounding the home. The court ruled that the property owners do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in open fields and that are not immediately near their homes. And Louisiana is not one of is one of seven states nationwide that specifically protect private land from searches. But Manuel's legal team from the Institute of Justice, a nonprofit think tank that fights to protect private property owners, rights against the government interference leans on the right to privacy clause in the Louisiana state's constitution that guarantees everyone's security from unreasonable searches, seizures, and invasions of privacy on their property. They argue that private land like Manuel's tree farm should be treated as protected property. It's going to be an interesting case, Rick, with that.
And then you wonder why they was on there to begin with, Tony, or what they were searching for, or why they were there, you know?
I personally think it was basically hunters, you know, being on his property, whether they had the rights or not, getting on that property to hunt deer or whatever they may be hunting at that time.
These hunters could have been trespassing, too.
That's right.
So you can't blame this man for that.
That's right. And anyway, it goes on. The attorneys for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries didn't respond to a comment in a similar lawsuits in the past. Louisiana courts have ruled that stripping agents of their power to enter private lands without a warrant would make it too difficult to enforce the state's fishing and hunting regulations. And with that, of course, two different encounters Manuel had with agents on his property back in December. And with that, the officers added there's a regular in-and-out traffic on the wooded area. That's what they saw, people coming in and out, whether they had permission or not.
Right.
Anytime you see an open gate, you feel like you have the right to go on someone's land and look for them. And that's Manuel addressing the agents. And absolutely, the officers said, according to the lawsuit, James Knight, one of the attorneys representing Manuel, said the current law gives Louisiana officials too much discretion to roam more than 95% of private lands across the state. He says that the lawsuit aims to rein in some of the government unrestrained authority with that. He said Manuel is a professor of forestry and wildlife, a biologist who manages land in Louisiana and Mississippi. He has worked with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries several times over the years to manage wildlife habitats on state land as recently as last year. Manuel said he's not interested in a payout. He said his lawsuit seeks $1 in nominal damages and stressed that he has lots of respect for law enforcement and state agency.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, I just don't have anything to hide. That's not the issue. Anybody thinks that it is, they might as well go to live in Russia, he said.
Thank you.
I'm not opposed to the game laws or any of that. It's just that when you're in your home and on your land, and you've got a right to privacy. So, well,
kind of agree with that, Tony.
Yeah, and you know, of course, and again, I don't know what the agents go on his land and looking for, maybe, and we've seen it in many instances.
Poachers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going out and whether it be duck hunting or deer hunting or hunting for turkey or whatever the case may be. In that regard, he just feels that my private property, you know, you want to come on and get a warrant and come by.
Even at our pond, Tony, at our property, I pop up frequently, and it's all fenced in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, somebody will be in there fishing. It's like, hey, how'd you get in here? Oh, well, so-and-so. I said, no, you can't be in here, you know? Because if you fall in this pond and you can't swim, it's 30 foot deep. So anyway.
And you know, the golf courses too have those issues too.
Yep.
With
mm-hmm.
I think they allow the landowners who live there to be able to fish there at Cane Row. But in the meantime, I know they still have a lot of people and youngsters, you know, thinking that. And I know when my brother worked for Mr. Segura, they basically he had to run kids off all the time, swimming.
Yeah,
you know, and I say fishing, and he, man, this is 30 feet deep.
And Tony, some kids don't realize that. You know, when my son worked for an ambulance company here years ago, he watched we didn't watch him. He got there about 10 minutes too late, right there in the lake, right by the crawfish drain.
Yep.
It's a gravel road, and he slipped off in there. He drowned in 6 foot of water because he couldn't swim.
Yeah.
He just wanted to fish, but he couldn't swim.
Yeah, just you see that. But I'm going to try to follow this case and see what – it's going to take a while, though, as I perceive. And, but it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to come about. And I know a couple game wardens. One lives near me, and I bump into him every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to fire at him and see.
No, they do have a lot of authority, Tony. I hear that they have more authority than the state police.
Oh, they can arrest
just
you.
Just as much,
for littering, speeding, whatever.
That's right.
They see probable cause is the word.
Which, I mean, they're doing their job. But, you know, sometimes authority can be, you know, a little too strong.
Yeah, and just quickly, agents arrested three men for stealing two vessels in Livingston Parish. There's some 18-year-olds, three of them, in that area, stealing two vessels. And they got caught, of course, and after admitting to that, they were frogging one night, and then they took a bass boat with a 150-horsepower motor from a residence, and then they rode around the stolen vessel until they found another one. They took that one with 25-horsepower. And, of course, with that, a neighbor found his vessel drifting back in the end of February. Mm-hmm. Called authorities and with the aluminum vessel and with that. And basically the motor, running lights, fuel tank, and jack plate were taken during the questioning. Also, one admitted to harvesting a deer in Ascension Parish.
Ooh, so, you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, they got big problems. Agents arrested one on March 7th, the other two on March 8th, and brings a $10,000 fine, 10 years in jail. Deer hunting without a license, of course, another $350 fine. So they've got some issues built up for them.
About no common sense. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, tides today here on a big March the 29th.
March.
Sun rose at 7 o'clock. It's going to set at 7:25 in the high and low tide chart. The first low tide was at 12:19 this morning. Next low tide at 1:17. The first high tide will be at 8:52, about a little over an hour from now, and the next high tide at 3:28 this afternoon. Meanwhile, Saturday, the 30th, sunrise at 6:58, sunset at 7:26. High and low tide chart, we can see that the low tide would be at 12:59 a.m. Saturday morning, the high tide at 12:09 a.m. Also, Sunday, the 31st of March, sunrise at 6:57, sunset at 7:26. In the high and low tide chart, the low tide will be at 1:49 a.m. Easter morning, and the high tide Easter morning will be 11:41 a.m. The average water temperature in Southwest Pass Vermilion Bay, up a little above 63 degrees, so starting to warm up a little bit with all the nice weather we've had, Rick. And, of course, each Friday, these are the people responsible for us being here.
You're right, Tony. Got to thank our sponsors, Alamo Hydraulics, Doors Heating and Cooling, Home Run Pizza, and Raging Cajun Seasoning and Foods.
And our motto, as always,
kids and hunting fish, don't steal and deal.